everybody. Thanks for tuning in today to Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Sorry about that delay. Had a little technical difficulty. Technology. My name is Todd McGreevy. I'm your host today for the next hour. And appreciate you staying with us. And welcome to all of Phil Posderick's listeners to Positively Unconstitutional. Always a fascinating Saturday morning with Phil. And please stay tuned for Michael McKay's Radio Free Market that will happen at 1 o'clock right after this segment of Common Sense Revisited. And, of course, the namesake of this show is Common Sense Revisited. You can find it at commonsenserevisited.com. It is the modern-day tribute to Thomas Paine's original. It's available there for free download as a PDF. It's a full-color publication, magazine-style, glossy, printed, 18 pages. I'm sorry, 48 pages. It's an excellent piece. It talks about the differences between indigenous power and surrogate power. And it has a whole, it's by Clyde Cleveland. And it has a whole section on everything from indigenous power versus surrogate power to bottom-up government, what went wrong, global government, the ultimate surrogate, a monetary system to support indigenous power is one of the chapters, welfare and indigenous power, the environment and indigenous power, education and indigenous power, healthcare, foreign relations, defense and indigenous power, drugs and indigenous power, and creating a paradigm shift to indigenous power, plus a recommended reading list. This is the second edition that Clyde has printed. He ran out of the first one. And with the second printing, he has extensive footnotes, 151 footnoted citations throughout the piece. So it's a phenomenal resource. It's an excellent primer to wake people up. I've been handing it out to friends, family, elected officials here in the de facto government to try and get them to pay attention to bottom-up versus top-down government. Please check out commonsenserevisited.com. So the other resource for you folks is my own personal blog, which is Third Rail Blog. That's THIRDRAILBLOG, thirdrailblog.com. Thirdrailblog.com. Last week we covered 11 steps you can take to start securing your liberties in your hometown. Those are all listed there from last week's show links. This week I have a section up there as well about what we're going to talk about today, and that includes we're going to talk about Phil Mosek. He's an Albuquerque, New Mexico man. He was traveling in Seattle, and how he was taken up on charges for trying to conceal his identity. He wouldn't give a TSA blue shirt he wouldn't show him any identification. He said, "Here's my boarding pass." And it resulted in a lawsuit. We're gonna listen to those clips right after the break here. We're gonna talk about Jesse Ventura suing TSA today. I also have an embedded video of the excellent piece by Gary Franchi's group, a reality report from Restore the Republic, the Rahm Emanuel expose, if you will, with his special guest Wayne Mattson. I've got a link there. And I also today, hopefully we can get to it. We'll take some calls if we can at the bottom half of the hour. But I also have a clip that I want to play that is, so you just got back from jury duty. So Matt, my producer, has been helpful today. He's, I think he got some videos ready right after the break. And I even outlined for him where we want to go with this. I'm just checking my own notes. Yeah. Okay. So, before we cut to the commercial.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendovite. The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made, right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
All right, folks, thanks for staying with us on RBN. Appreciate your tuning in today. And Matt shares some of the clips are queued. And I want to introduce this first clip. And bear with me. These video files are embedded at thirdrailblog.com. You can go review them on your own if you want. There's some detailed notes at the YouTube pages where you can drill down on, but this is a video recording. The first one we're going to play is about 3 minutes long. It's a video recording made by Phil Mosek, that's spelled M-O-C-E-K, at the Albuquerque International Airport just outside the TSA barricade on November 15th, 2009. So this is going back a ways, from approximately 2:30 p.m. to 2:38 p.m. Mountain Time. This video, without the subtitles, was presented by the prosecution in State of New Mexico versus Philip Mosek in the Bernalillo County Metropolitan Court on January 20th, 2011. So that's why it's relevant today, especially because it was just recently adjudicated. And so what I'm playing here is the raw video he took, and I apologize if some of this is inaudible, but I think it's important to hear what how calm and cool Philip was and what he did under fire there at the checkpoint. Lord knows we don't want to live in a society where we have to deal with checkpoints and papers, please. But this is visible and audible in the video are Mosek, the Albuquerque Airport Police Department officers, Robert Dilley, Landra Wiggins, Julio LaPena, and TSA staff Jonathan Breeden, Gerald Romero, Anthony Schreiner, Greg Martinez, and Laura Moots. So let's go ahead and cue it up.
Can you say that again?
No at all. Right.
Did you say there's no cameras or videotaping allowed at the security checkpoint?
I've got a law enforcement officer en route. Stand by. Okay.
Law enforcement officer?
Yes. A police officer.
Okay. Can you tell me why? Is there a problem?
That right there.
Is there a problem with using a camera in the airport in publicly accessible areas?
Okay. I think you're incorrect, but...
Why don't you put it down for now, okay?
I prefer not to.
No, put it down for now.
Can I get your name?
I said put it down for now. I said put it down for now.
Don't touch me.
Put it down for now.
Do not touch me.
Put it down for now.
I'm bearing witness. I have a right.
I understand my rights.
Put it down for now.
I'm not trying to interfere with your job.
Put it down for now.
I am bearing witness.
Come here. These two have caused disturbance. He won't put his camera down either.
Taking pictures of all of us?
Sir.
Yes.
You missed everything. Complied with what they're saying. We're going to escort you out of the airport. Done.
You're causing a commotion.
Okay?
I'm done. I haven't raised my voice. I'm not trying to stop you from doing your job.
Are you flying out, sir?
Excuse me?
Are you flying out?
Yes.
Okay. Well, comply with what TSA's rules and regulations are?
I plan to comply with all their rules and regulations.
Before you interrupt me, comply with what they are requesting of you. Otherwise, we will escort you out of the airport. Okay. Understand me?
I understand you.
Okay.
I plan to comply with all their rules. I do not believe that there is a rule that bars me from using a camera in publicly accessible areas of the airport.
This is a federal checkpoint. You can't do it here.
I've checked into it, and I know that I can do it here.
Well, you can be arrested, then you can check into it more.
For using a camera in a public place.
Sir.
Yes.
You're really pushing.
You don't want to show his ID either.
All right. All right. You got five.
Let's go, sir. You're leaving the airport.
Let's
go. If you refuse, we'll arrest you. Let's go.
I don't understand.
I'm gonna need your ID now.
I don't have any ID to show you.
Sir, we're gonna arrest you for concealing identity.
Am I required to?
Yes, you are now part of an investigation, a criminal investigation. You are required to give us your ID.
What am I being investigated for?
For disturbing the peace.
I haven't disturbed.
Yes, you are. Yes, I'm gonna need a statement from you guys. You understand me, sir?
I
need your ID.
I'm going to remain silent.
All right, let's go.
I'd like to talk to an attorney.
We're going
to
end up arresting you. Come on, let's go. We're going to search your property and find ID.
On your property information?
Yes. We will arrest you for concealing ID. Sam 15, 110. SAM 15-116. Actually, do me a favor. I don't know what you have in your bag. This officer's going to take your bag. Put your bag. 34 with me at 19, please. Place your bag down there, please, sir.
I don't consent to any search.
You're not being searched. Place your bag down there. And if we arrest you, your property will be searched without. You won't need to.
I don't consent to any search.
Place your bag down. The officer will take your bags for you. Give me your camera. Can I get it?
Right. So Mr. Mosek handled himself pretty well there. We're going to go on to the next clip, which is a news segment about his trial that was underway on January 20th. This would be the news account as well. Go ahead.
Opening statements kicked off this afternoon in the trial of a Seattle man who made national headlines here in Albuquerque. Phil Mosek is facing several charges after refusing to show TSA officers his ID at the Sunport and then videotaping his altercation with officers. Our Kayla Anderson is live at the Metro Courthouse with the very latest. Kayla.
Well, the only witness we heard from today is the TSA officer who confronted Phil Mosek that day. He said that Mosek should not have been using his camera to film because there could have been sensitive documents that Mosek could have caught on camera. But Mosek continued to argue in the Sunport that it was his right to film in a public place, and he argued until police arrested him.
Phil Mosek is in an Albuquerque courtroom, the center of a national debate. He was arrested in late 2009 after refusing to show his ID to TSA officers at the Sunport. Police say he was disruptive and caused a scene.
Mr. Mosek began to protest. He began to take out his camera and start to film what was going on.
Mosek is charged with disorderly conduct, refusing to obey an officer, criminal trespassing, and concealing his identity.
After you evaluate all the evidence, you will come to the conclusion that Mr. Mosek is guilty of all four of these charges.
The defense argues Mosek was cooperative during the entire incident, adding there was nothing illegal about him using his cell phone to tape the incident, even though he was told to stop taping.
Well, he never concealed his identity. He had a boarding pass in his own name, Philip Mosek, and he had no other identification in his luggage, so he wasn't concealing anything from anyone.
Supporters from across the country were also in the courtroom, saying Mosek's arrest trampled on his First Amendment rights.
Mr. Mosek did nothing illegal that day. The only thing that happened that day was that the TSA and the officers were the ones out of control, were the ones making a commotion, and were the ones shouting.
And the prosecution will wrap its case tomorrow, with their final witness being an aviation officer. And then the defense is expected to begin a very long list of witnesses. Reporting live from Metro Court, Kayla Anderson, KOB Eyewitness News 4.
So there's the day that the trial was happening, and now we're going to play the last clip. It's only 44 seconds, and it is the results. And I think they actually interviewed Phil Mosek himself. Go ahead.
We have a reaction just into our newsroom from a Seattle man arrested after refusing to show his ID to security agents at the Sunport and then filming the incident. Just about 1 hour ago, an Albuquerque jury cleared Phil Mosek of all the charges.
It's been a long time. I do feel good. I feel particularly good that we have police and TSA on record saying that you don't have to show ID to fly and that you can use a camera in an airport.
Mosek faced charges including disorderly conduct and concealing his identity following the 2009 incident. The defense argued Mosek did not hide his identity because he had a boarding pass with his name on it.
So we can thank Phil Mosek for taking that one to the mat. I think that was a pretty interesting exercise. And if I hear correctly, we are not required to show ID at these checkpoints. If you have your boarding pass, that is a relationship you have with the airline who has taken your money to take you from point A to B, and you have a boarding pass. So may not be for the weak in the knees to pursue that with all the blue shirts and the commotion that they'll cause because you actually stand up for your rights. But I think that was a fascinating exercise in somebody standing up. And also, did you notice it was a jury trial? And like I've been talking about on the show for months and months about one of our biggest remedies we have is to have fully informed juries. And I haven't delved too deep into what happened in Albuquerque, but I do know that there's a lot of patriots down in New Mexico who've been working hard. I met a lot of them at Continental Congress. I'm sure they were aware of this. I think we've got a break coming up here. I'm not hearing the music yet. Might have some technical difficulties here, but you can check out those clips. Got 1 minute here. We can check out those clips at thirdrailblog.com. I'm really encouraged by what I saw there. I have not spoken to Mr. Mosek or Phil Mosek at all. I'm just merely repurposing what I found out here on the internet, and seems very credible. Obviously, I've done a little drill down on this guy, and it was totally legit what you heard there. And that was the KOB TV4 station, which I believe is in Albuquerque. Yeah, it was in Albuquerque. So thank you to that station down there for actually covering such a thing. And if you want to bone up on that, you can check it out at thirdrailblog.com. Want to make sure we thank Republic Broadcasting Network for all the efforts they make to allow us to share this information with you on these airwaves. And I want to encourage everybody listening to support the advertisers you hear on RBN and at their website, republicbroadcasting.org. Stay tuned, and we'll go to some more video clips about Jesse Ventura after the break.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, folks, thank you for staying with us. Visited. We appreciate you tuning in. So we're going to actually go to a shorter segment here. I'm going to play a clip that I've been wanting to play for some time, and then after this next segment, we're going to jump to the Jesse Ventura segment in the longer portion there. We're going to play a clip called So You Just Got Back From Jury Duty, and it's out on the Internet. And I actually have it at my website, thirdrailblog.com. It was created by John Rowland. I met John Rowland for the first time down in at Continental Congress. He was a delegate from Texas, very knowledgeable man, Mr. Rowland. He has the website constitution.org. He was one of the first people in the world or in America to actually start documenting our founding documents and put, you know, everything up on the Internet. He's been a long-time technical innovator, if you will. And there's a tool out there called Extra Normal where you can actually type in your script, and then in real time on an animated version, you can pick all these characters and you create your own video, much like the one that went viral, the QE2, explaining quantitative easing with the two animated, you know, kind of animals talking to each other. Perhaps many of you have heard of that. Well, we're going to cue this up. This is two people sitting in an office, a man and a woman talking to each other. One of them just got back from jury duty. Take a listen.
So you just got back from jury duty?
Yes. It was interesting.
What kind of case was it?
A federal income tax case for a willful failure to file and pay.
I think I know which case it was. What did you find interesting about it?
The defendant was an illegal tax protester.
Does that mean he was protesting illegal taxes, or that you think it is illegal to protest taxes?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
So what evidence did the government present?
That the defendant hadn't filed or paid taxes for 3 years, even though he had income.
What evidence did the defense put on?
The defendant testified that he had sent letters for many years to the IRS and other agencies of government demanding proof of any law that required him to file returns or pay taxes.
What was in those letters? Did defense counsel offer them in evidence?
He tried to, but the prosecution objected to the admission of almost all of it, and demanded most of it be blacked out, or attachments removed.
Did you get a sense of what was redacted or removed?
Yes. The prosecutor objected that it was a misstatement of law and infringed on the prerogative of the judge to say what the law is.
What about the attachments?
The defense said they were copies of statutes, regulations, and court opinions.
Did the prosecution object that they were not accurate copies?
No. He was objecting to them whether they were accurate or not.
By any chance, was one of those laws the Constitution?
Yes. How did you guess?
Just a hunch. Did they argue over what willful means?
The defense tried to do that, but the judge cut him off.
So what do you think it means?
Intentional? Deliberate?
It means doing it even though he knew it to be illegal.
Oh.
Did the defense offer any other evidence?
Yes. The defendant testified that over several years he had been writing, lecturing, and otherwise arguing that there was no law requiring anyone to file or pay income taxes on compensation for labor.
Did he offer any evidence of those efforts?
His lawyer tried to butt.
Let me guess. Objection. Misstatement of law and infringes on judge's prerogative to say what the law is.
Yes. He made that objection a lot.
So did the defendant start making those demands and writing those things before or after he stopped filing and paying?
Before.
So from the evidence that got through, did it seem that maybe he honestly believed he didn't have a legal duty to file and pay?
I suppose.
So then it was not willful, was it?
But that's silly. Everyone knows we have to file and pay taxes.
Evidently everybody doesn't know that. I don't know that. Do you know that, from your own investigation?
No. I don't know how to do that kind of investigation. But surely if there were no law, how could the IRS get away with what they do? Wouldn't lawyers stop them in court?
You have a lot to learn about how courts really work.
But the judge gave us the instructions that he was guilty.
What did he say?
He read from something and said that was the law. He said that if the defendant did that, we should find him guilty.
I've put something up on your computer screen. Does it look familiar?
Yes. These are the same words the judge read to us. Is this the law that requires us to file and pay?
No. It is from the IRS instruction booklet.
Really? Well, is it quoting law from somewhere else?
No. There is no law. Not in the regulations. Not in the statutes. And not in the Constitution.
You've got to be shitting me.
Did it occur to you to wonder why the defendant kept demanding proof of there being a law, and not getting it?
Yes, but I didn't think much about that.
And did it occur to you that the evidence the judge wouldn't let the defense enter might have shown there is no law?
Oh my God.
So what was the verdict?
We convicted him on all counts.
How do you feel about that?
I was a little scared. Someone hinted to me that if we did not convict, we might be audited. I think the others were afraid of that too.
So what do you think about that now?
We convicted an innocent man.
We convicted an innocent man. So, stay with us, folks. We're going to talk about this right after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back, everybody. Common Sense Revisited. I forgot to put a time and date stamp on the opening segment. Today is Saturday, January 29th, 2011. So thank you for tuning in. And after we get through the next segment, the next clip about Jesse Ventura and his lawsuit with TSA, invite any listeners that would like to comment or question or call in at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. So we just listened to, so you just got back from jury duty. I like to call it juror's remorse. It's a video by John Rowland. You can check it out at thirdrailblog.com. I have on the left column there, if you scroll down a little bit, you will see a series of videos I have embedded, ones that I consider to be particularly enlightening, kind of ubiquitous in their common sense ability. The first one is The Philosophy of Liberty. It's an 8-minute clip about individuals versus collectivists. I think it's drawn with stick men. Many of you have probably seen it. The next one is called The Sunset of the State, a 9-minute clip about the non-aggression principle, which I think is really well done. The third one is So You Just Got Back from Jury Duty. What we just listened to, produced by John Rowland, I think is an excellent piece. I'm really impressed with it. It touches the third rail of the IRS that nobody wants to talk about because they've got us in such fear. And it gets to the core of, whether you consider yourself a 14th Amendment citizen or not, and all that fun stuff that we hear a lot of talk about. If the merits of the case could ever be brought before a jury, this goes back to the Bill Benson case. I've had Jeff Dickstein on this show before. The whole nine yards, the 16th Amendment, the law that never was, all of that stuff, the We the People Foundation, petitions for redress, the fasting that Bob Schultz did, the movie Freedom to Fascism, the interviews with the former head. I mean, all of that, if all of that could be brought to bear in a court of peers, a jury of peers, we would have a whole different society today. But you can see, if you listen to that clip that John Rowland put together and produced using that technology, those are computer-generated voices as his actors. They ask great questions about the definition of what is an illegal tax protester. They ask definitions about the word willful. They bring up that purportedly it's the judge's prerogative to say what the law is. Well, if you have a fully informed jury, folks, then this would not be a problem. I'm going to read to you this motion in limine. This is a document that was filed last month. I think it was in December. And it's funny how they don't date these things. But this is the person who gave this to me. I know personally. He lives here in Iowa. It's the matter in dispute, as I think it's a traffic violation, to be honest with you, some kind of moving violation, speeding or something like that. And it's in the district court of the state of Iowa. And I have this linked at my blog, thirdrailblog.com. And the reason I want to read this motion in limine, and that's spelled out, L-I-M-I-N-E, limine, motion in limine, is because I think this gets to the core of the problems we have with the judge, jury, and executioner being the judge. And just listen to this. Hopefully it's self-explanatory. In the District Court of the State of Iowa, in and for Jefferson County Magistrate Division, State of Iowa Plaintiff versus Drew Yor Knight, the defendant, motion in limine. Comes now the State of Iowa through Assistant Jefferson County Attorney Patrick J. McAvan, and in support of its motion in limine, states the following. One, the state has reason to believe that the defendant intends to introduce evidence or argument that would be highly prejudicial with little or no probative value and that would be irrelevant and immaterial to any material issues in the above captioned case. Number two, specifically that the defendant intends to discuss law and legal principles found in the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, which does not apply to a traffic case and is therefore irrelevant. Three, furthermore, no party or witness should be allowed to tell the jury what the law is or should be as that is fully within the duties of the court. Let me read that again. Furthermore, no party or witness should be allowed to tell the jury what the law is or should be as that is fully within the duties of the court. Finally, any form of jury nullification include, this is number four, finally, any form of jury nullification, including but not limited to encouraging jurors to disobey their oath and substitute their own legal standards or to judge the statute with their vote, must be prohibited. Wherefore, the state respectfully requests the court to instruct the defendant not to mention, refer to, interrogate concerning, or attempt to convey before the jury at any time during these proceedings in any manner, either directly or indirectly, evidence or argument of law or duties outside the scope of the approved jury instructions for this case, without first informing the court and obtaining permission of the court outside the presence of the jury, and further to instruct the defendant not to make any reference or inference to the fact that this motion has been filed, argued or ruled upon by the court, and further that the defendant be instructed to warn and caution each and every witness appearing in this litigation to strictly comply with the ruling of the court. I don't even know how to even start on something like this. This is like thought police. You know, it's like a preemptive strike on thought police is how I read this. You know, first he's the guy filing this, the county attorney. You know, he's worried about what he thinks the defendant might do. He's trying to preemptively, you know, handicap this thing and preclude him, the defendant, from doing something. I guess that's what a motion in limine is. So you get a preemptive strike, I guess, against the evidence that might be brought to bear. But to even like preclude the defendant from discussing or acknowledging to the jury that this motion was even filed, you know, I mean, how much more do they want to stack the deck? Heaven forbid that a defendant would go in and actually have the wherewithal to ask good questions, inform the jury about what the actual law is. I mean, as you heard in that piece that John Rowland did, you know, the actors, the computer actors were talking about one of the pieces of evidence that the defense in this hypothetical case about illegal tax protesting wanted to bring into the evidence was the actual Constitution. And the judge wouldn't even let that be brought in. So it's just a fascinating development. When I see and hear about these things happening, I feel it gives me hope because I think that we're dealing with a system that is starting to feel the cracks in their armor, the cracks that in their facade, the cracks in their world that the brainwashing that they've achieved over the last, you know, 5 to 6 decades with modern technology. And so technology is starting to fight back, and that's a good thing. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to share this clip by Rowland. I thought it was well done. I'm going to switch gears a little bit over to, you know, speaking of technology and speaking of brainwashing. Many of you may have watched or heard about Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, his show called Conspiracy Theory that aired on cable networks, True TV, formerly Court TV. And he's done, in my opinion, a phenomenal job of popularizing what were previously considered, you know, fringe, crackpot, third rail topics. Everything from FEMA camps to JFK assassination to medicating our water to the Pentagon on 9/11. It just every time he does a show, in my opinion, he brings information that even those of us who consider ourselves paying attention, he brings information to bear that is new, relevant, and indisputable. And he and the show might be a little cheesy from time to time. Heck, he's a former all-star pro wrestler. You know, what do you expect? But he knows show business, and he's doing a great mashup by combining show business with truth and reality and journalism. And I think he's doing a wonderful job. Now, there's rumors out there, done just a little bit of research. I've heard him both, you know, verbally from friends and family and on the internet that his show was canceled. I don't think it was canceled. I think that the season ended. I think his contract for the number of shows he pursued ended. And I think we need to stay tuned to see if somebody picks up his show again. He was garnering over, 1.6 million viewers in 2009. I think he had over 2 million viewers in 2010. That's nothing to sneeze at with regards to selling advertising and getting ratings. So I anticipate that show to resurface. And if it doesn't resurface on the cable network, I would see that maybe he could even do a standalone piece and distribute through different channels, which is, I think, the future of communications anyway. But it turns out that former Governor Ventura has filed a lawsuit against TSA. Now, I have not had a chance to delve into this super deep. This is a 2-minute, 45-second clip that we're going to play here. That's a news account. I'm not even sure which station it's on, but I'll give you some details after we listen to it. And let's tune in and hear what Governor Ventura is up to against TSA. Well, we're going to cue the clip here any second. This is, here we go.
He has picked very public battles. Now, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is taking on the TSA after he says he was sexually assaulted at an airport checkpoint. Ventura filed a lawsuit just hours ago. Good evening. I'm Gus Rosendale.
I'm Leah McClain. Now, Ventura says that he might lose his TV job because he's refusing to fly. 5 Eyewitness News reporter Mark Alpert is breaking the story tonight. It's a story you'll see only on 5. Mark.
Leah, here is that 12-page lawsuit that names U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano as one of the defendants. It's accusing the TSA of violating Ventura's constitutional rights with an intimate pat-down. And Ventura's attorney says he's fighting on behalf of all flyers.
We shock the world!
Jesse Ventura is going for another high-profile takedown. The former wrestler turned one-time Minnesota governor, termed television performer as he now calls himself, is suing the Transportation Security Administration after an apparently uncomfortable pat-down at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport in November. In this lawsuit filed Monday at the federal courthouse in Minneapolis, Ventura says his, quote, basic rights to privacy and dignity and his right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures were violated. Ventura says his titanium hip set off alarms when he went through airport security. A TSA agent then gave him a pat-down body search.
The security procedures are now going too far. I mean, there is a line somewhere, and he believes that line has been crossed.
Ventura's attorney says the pat-down met the, quote, definition for an unlawful sexual assault.
He's not one to back down from a fight. He sees the erosion of civil liberties here, and he's willing to stand up not only for himself but for others.
Back in 2001, right after the September 11th terrorist attacks, then-Governor Ventura told us he would not mind extra scrutiny.
We're at war. And we're at war inside of our own country, something we've never seen or heard of before in the United States of America. I don't think you can be too careful. And people are just going to have to accept a little bit of inconvenience.
We're working to track down Ventura, and we'll have more for you coming up tonight at 10. A spokesperson with the TSA told us the agency does not comment on pending litigation. Ventura's lawsuit describes how he was touched, and you can read that at KSDP.com.
Live in the newsroom, Mark Albert, 5 Eyewitness News.
Well, that was actually a fairly good piece of journalism there that they drug up the clip from Ventura saying that we just have to accept some inconveniences because we're at war. That was interesting. It will be fascinating to see if he does reply to that. I do have a link at thirdrailblog.com to the Ventura lawsuit. It's about 12 pages, like they said. And when you get down to the bottom of it, he is not looking for anything. I mean, this is definitely a effort of... he's not looking for money, is what I'm trying to say. It says, wherefore, Governor Ventura respectfully asks that the court enter judgment in his favor and against the defendants, declaring that TSA and DHS have, and unless enjoined or restrained, will continue to violate his rights under the Fourth Amendment to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, enter judgment in favor and against the defendants, in his favor and against the defendants, enjoining and restraining them from unreasonable searches and seizures, including but not limited to subjecting Governor Ventura to warrantless and suspicionless WBI and pat-down body searches, and award his cost and disbursements, including reasonable attorney's fees incurred herein, and award all other relief, which the court seems to be just and equitable. So he's not going for like a damages for cash. This is definitely a principled statement, I believe. And I guess the former governor, you know, things got a little too inconvenient for him, and he stepped up to the plate. Now, it's going to take this kind of high-profile individual to do this, and obviously he might be doing this as a stunt to grow ratings for his show, which I can't argue with at all. His show is spreading some opening some doors and eyes that have not been opened before, so I do hope this helps catapult his show into more notoriety. If any of you have any questions or thoughts or comments regarding what we talked about today, be sure to call 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Another resource I'd like to share with you this hour is Gary Franchi's Reality Report. He does an excellent job, and there's a link. There's actually an embedded video and a link to it at thirdrailblog.com. And one, he published this about 2 weeks ago. It's an hour long. It's 58 minutes long, and it's one of Gary's reporters. I apologize, I can't think of his name in a second, but they did a great job. They sat with Wayne Mattson. It was via a Skype interview, and they deconstructed the history of Rahm Emanuel. It was, and it's the tentacles that reach out around and through Rahm Emanuel's family and his associations in Illinois, in Chicago, and now the White House and so forth, and his efforts to become mayor of Chicago. This is a really good piece. It brings up a lot of micro details in Chicago that, you know, made a headline maybe for a day and a half back in the day in the last 2 to 5 years. But, you know, now when you kind of put these together, it shows a much more scandalous or potentially nefarious behavior with Mr. Emanuel. And, you know, there's people that, you know, that were involved with the Chicago school board that, you know, mysteriously were suicided and found dead in the river in Chicago. And there's I don't know if you guys remember you listeners remember that the day after the Arizona shootings, there was a woman who was found burning in her car on Capitol Hill. Her husband is one of the liaisons for the Barack Obama administration's legislative liaisons. She was a lobbyist. Well, she worked for a woman that used to rent the house to Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. So, you know, ostensibly there's a connection there. There's just a lot of weird things going on. And Wayne Mattson, who has a show here on RBN, I believe, it does a great job of linking up with Gary Franchi's team on the Reality Report. So I encourage you to take a look at that. It's a fascinating deconstruction of that. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was just, this is just, again, off the cuff. There's been a lot of emails going back and forth and stories at foodfreedom.wordpress.com, I believe, is the really excellent blog about health, freedom, and food, about the alfalfa being, I can't remember the exact action step that took place, but apparently Monsanto's genetically modified alfalfa is being approved by the FDA, and or I saw some headlines about Whole Foods and a couple other so-called organic purveyors agreeing that was okay, that they had to coexist. We'll talk about that right after the break and why we need to investigate whether or not this is just a red herring, this GMO with alfalfa. Does alfalfa really need to have Roundup Ready built into its DNA? Stay tuned.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us this hour, and be sure to stay tuned for Michael McKay's Radio Free Market coming up right after this. And I was just at the outro of the last segment, I was talking about the recent headlines about the USDA approving the GMO, genetically modified organism of alfalfa. And I'll read you, this is from foodfreedom.wordpress.com, an excellent blog resource for people to check out, foodfreedom.wordpress.com. And leads in is U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack just approved widespread planting of genetically modified alfalfa. The Center for Food Safety plans to sue, and Food and Water Watch would like you to send a letter to Obama to reverse the decision. Now, I'm sorry to report that this is a former governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, where I live, who's actually pursuing this. And, you know, I met Tom Vilsack a couple times, actually, once when he was running for governor, once when he was governor. And he seemed to me at the time, those many years ago, to be an honorable man. But it looks like he may have, you know, as you get into this federal criminal corporation, you just get sucked in and bought out. So he's doing the bidding of Monsanto and the big agri, it would seem. There's as you get down here, though, the Center for Food Safety is trying to address. There's an open letter they sent to him that's linked there, and they also address several key points that were not properly assessed in the report. And they say that Roundup Ready Alfalfa will substantially increase herbicide use. That's what the GMO is. It's Roundup Ready, meaning you can plant this seed of alfalfa, which is used to feed, I'm told, horse and cattle. And you can use this seed that is Roundup Ready, meaning you can spray the herbicide Roundup all over this and it will be resistant to it. And this says the USDA's assessment misrepresented conventional alfalfa as utilizing more herbicides than it does, which in turn provided a false rationale for introducing herbicide-promoting Roundup Ready alfalfa. In fact, USDA's own data shows that just 7% of alfalfa hay acres are treated with herbicides. USDA's projections in the study show that substantial adoption of Roundup Ready alfalfa would trigger large increases in herbicide use of up to 23 million pounds per year. And this is what my friend last night, who owns farmland in Illinois, was explaining to me, that, you know, alfalfa, I'm not an expert in any of this, but I do listen to the folks that grow it. He grows it, and he says it's a low covering crop that's already weed resistant. That it's already, you know, it's hard for weeds to grow in an alfalfa field. And it looks like the USDA's own report says that only 7% of alfalfa hay acres are treated with herbicides. So why the push to have this Roundup Ready alfalfa seed proliferated out there? I think it's because it will in turn contaminate the non-genetically modified crops around it. It's the poison pill that's getting entered into our food system, folks. So I encourage you to check out foodfreedom.wordpress.com and look at that story and check out the open letter they sent to Vilsack and, you know, chime in. It can seem daunting, big time, because the elected officials at the federal level, and I've talked about this, it's just a big horse race and we get distracted by it and so forth. But apparently, and I need to look this one up, and maybe folks listening can check into it, the Food Safety and Modernization Act that the federal Senate passed was done fraudulently because of the way they changed up a bunch of the amendments. So that thing might be coming back with regard. It may be void, actually. Something to keep an eye open for as you're out there discussing these things. Be sure to go to thirdrailblog.com. There's links to today's show that we include in the video embeds of Mosek and his fight against TSA, video embed of that short clip about Jesse Ventura's lawsuit. There's a PDF of the motion in limine, which I read aloud from Jefferson County, Iowa, which will blow your mind. There's also a link to Jesse Ventura's lawsuit. And there's those videos we talked about that I think are ubiquitous and foundational. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and stay tuned for Michael McKay on Radio Free Market coming right up.
The next round of the worst